Welcome to your number one source for technological innovations, ideas, and strategies for your business. Multiply your business's equations and put the odds in your favor. Now, live from Club IT HQ with your hosts, Ben and Sam, this is Tech Factor.
It's a good bait, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is a good bait.
So, welcome everyone. I'm Ben.
And I'm Ryan.
A much better looking version of Sam. And this is the Tech Factor. So today we're going to be talking. Sam's in Bali.
Yeah.
So good luck to that's
The rookie's taking his place today.
Yeah.
So
no problem.
See how we go.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about Microsoft Copilot. So Microsoft Copilot, a lot of hype around it. We'll get into it in a minute, but I'm pretty excited about it. There's a lot of, Microsoft release a lot of features and functions all the time, but they're going pretty hard with AI. I think the Copilot stuff's going to be I don't want to use the word term game changer, but I think it may actually be a game changer. So everyone's been talking about it. Ryan, tell us, what the hell is Microsoft Copilot?
Yeah, well, I think it is something to be actually taken seriously here. So Microsoft Copilot is essentially their AI assistance feature, which is built into all the Microsoft 365 applications. So it's essentially marketed as a completely new way of working, and it's meant to work alongside with the end user. So like I said, it's integrated in all the Microsoft 365 apps you use, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, Teams, all that good stuff. So essentially it's, if you're ever familiar with ChatGDP or anything like that, it's a very similar AI technology to that, but it essentially uses Microsoft's database and learns off that. So
yeah, so to elaborate on that a little bit, so obviously Microsoft did the big deal, did the money,
yeah,
and they obviously did that deal with OpenAI, and the first thing they realized was, well, we're going to make more money out of that through our subscription stuff, which Microsoft 365 makes natural sense to go that way. So as far as I understand, the Copilot model, the Copilot system is based off GDP4, and yep. They'll be obviously they're doing a lot of customization work for the platform specifically for it. At the moment, it's in a beta phase, apparently with a bunch of Fortune 500 companies in the US. There are some hacks that people have shown as ways to potentially get access to it early on, and I've been playing around with some of that stuff. It's really exciting. It's essentially, if you had ChatGDP but fully integrated into every aspect of Microsoft Office, that's what Copilot is. So I guess that really leads on, is this a big deal? And how is this going to change anything? And is it really that important? So I'll give you my take in a minute, but how about you give me your rookie take?
I generally think if it takes off and it goes somewhere, it's definitely will change the end user's ability to and essentially increase their productivity. So just having the benefit of literally at your fingertips to just ask Copilot, whether it be, ask it to write a report for you or, ask it to make a PowerPoint for you. You can do all these different things in all the 365 applications in that suite, and it's just at your fingertips. So it saves tedious amounts of work. So you can use existing documents you've created, things like that. So you can essentially, if you want to create a report or an email based on a previous document you've already created, for example, you can simply just ask Copilot to make a report based on this document, highlighting these features, and it spits it out. So I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm not much of a big marketing guy. I normally don't buy into a lot of the hype and stuff like that. But legitimately, and we're going to watch a video in a second, and we'll also include this in the podcast. But legitimately, I feel like, I'm a bit old now. I've got the gray hair and shit. I'm not as old as, I'm not old, but I'm getting a bit older.
You're getting along.
I remember Windows 3.1. I remember, 95 when it came out. And to me, and I know there's a lot of crazy people. You see the old bits and videos of stuff, people lining up out the door for an operating system. It just seems insane in 2023. But I reckon that certainly Microsoft Copilot, I feel like if it's done in the right way, it will deliver the same type of impact as what Windows 95 did at the time when it came out. And, it was Windows 95 came out, people had dial-up internet, obviously, brought internet together with Internet Explorer, and the whole way we did work changed. And I feel like that's going to be the same type of thing with Microsoft Copilot if they get it right. Now, in saying that, obviously, so there is a lot of things they need to do. And like any good AI model, it's just only as good as the material you train it with and how you train it. So that's, I think, a lot of the work that Microsoft's doing with the GDP model and a lot of this customization stuff is they're doing a lot of training on the new model. They're trying to train it specifically for Office and for business type applications so that the information it produces is much, much higher quality than ChatGPT, and but more specifically focused on those applications. So if you're writing an email in Outlook, you'll be like, yeah, I need to do a reply back to this and this type of thing. And it's able to, you know, again, based on the language, and also it'll learn as it evolves, it's going to learn basically the learn from your own organization as well. So the language models you use within your own organization, it'll be trained on that stuff as well over time. So
I feel like that's the unique thing about it.
It is, because it's not just going to be about whatever ChatGPT spits out. It's going to be far more customized, and it's going to learn the language, the tonality, and these types of things. So again, like I'll be like, I need to reply back to that email and say, yeah, we're happy with that, but we look at this thing, or and as we'll see in a minute, it can reply to an email back with a graph. It can it could extrapolate a lot of information. And you can say, oh, well, that looks good. You can edit it. You go, actually, I want it in shorter. I want to be more succinct. And you can also change the tone. I don't know if you've seen that in some of the videos.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, make it more casual, make it more formal. You know, so if it's a Friday, you might make it a little bit more casual. Yeah. Might throw some casuality on it. If it's a Monday morning to the CEO, you might make it a bit more formal.
Yeah. I think that's the unique thing about it is it's all customizable and uniquely dependent on your organization. So whatever data your organization has, it gets implemented directly into that. So I feel like that's great about it. And I'll be honest, before even researching into this, I kind of palmed it off a bit and didn't think it was such a big thing. But when you research into it and look at it a bit more, it's actually something that probably should get taken seriously. And yeah, so I'm genuinely actually quite excited for it, to be honest. And so it'll be interesting.
Well, let's play the video now. And so what'll happen if the podcast, so everyone will hear the audio, and then we'll overlay the video later on post edit. So let's play the the 1 minute 39 one, the first one.
Yep, I can do that.
So this gives us a bit of an intro into Copilot and essentially what it is what we've already extrapolated. So watch this video now, and a little chat about it. We'll go into some more detail. Yeah,
all right.
Far away.
This is cool.
So you can see literally like, all right, I need this to generate this document that does this. You throw in some stuff there, you'll all start. You can do the commentary if you want. Commentary soundtrack.
I think it's quite cool how you can almost just app Copilot in any one of the applications. And for example, we're looking at now where it says create a 10-slide document on PowerPoint based on a report, and it spits out a PowerPoint.
The other stuff, Excel is going to be really cool with Copilot, because the big thing I find with Excel, like for me, and like a lot of people, unless you're doing Excel every single day, you're like, oh, I need to be able to generate like some kind of formula to do this. And just to be able to sell to a Copilot, I want a formula that does this. It'll do the whole lot without having to go equals sum equals this or divide by this. I think that's going to be massive. I think
that was cool, which showed one of the big examples was based on this quarter, like find the most profitable margins or something like that. It showed and then it spat out three graphs and really condensed it down.
Yeah, and you can see there it's got do a SWOT analysis or give us some stuff on the competition or blah, blah. That's just going to be crazy. Like, because it's going to take away like hours of time, obviously, there with, say, when we're looking at, people trying to do research, jumping to Google, jumping to various platforms, trying to figure out what's what. The fact that can all happen straight through the application. The Excel stuff I'm super excited about.
Stops repetition and kind of just increases productivity and just simplifies it a bit for people, and you can just summarize things really quickly, which is good.
Yeah, in a practical sense, like, and I know, like, and the fact that it's all so tightly integrated is a big thing, because, like, you, again, go back to PowerPoint, right? Like, when I'm like, okay, I've got to do a PowerPoint presentation for someone, I've got to, you know, do a sales presentation and whatever. I honestly, like, okay, we've had, you know, I guess Office One, you know, the initial iteration of Office, we've got templates. That gives you a bit of a starter. You can do a template, gives you some something to lay out and whatever. But this is like giving you not only the template for the visual, but also the template for the actual what you're going to write. And it knows, it's got information from other places, from Excel and all these other spots. So it's able to actually go ahead and give you relevant information, and it gives you a massive, like, it probably saves you like half an hour at the start. Like if you're doing a decent sized sales presentation,
yeah,
there's like 30 minutes off the bat straight away, right?
I wish I had this tool back at TAFE. That would have been cool.
Oh man, it'd be like, yeah, I want to do my TAFE Science so presentation on like how this
whatever
is supposed
topic,
to work.
Yeah, yeah, and topic, it just spits it out.
That's
and great.
Then, yeah,
love that.
A plus all around, man. Yeah. Yeah, you might have got a better job. No, kidding. no, so yeah, honestly, like it's going to be really cool. But I really want to harp on the Excel stuff because the Excel, like again, like for me personally, like I know how to do some basic stuff in Excel, but I know with Excel, like pretty much all of us, we use only like 10% of Excel.
Yeah,
you know, I know some guys that do a lot of stuff in finance and they use all the pivot tables, they make changes and then it updates a graph automatically and all this stuff, and it's really cool stuff, but it takes a long time to learn and figure out.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's going to be the other benefit is that people are going to be utilizing Office more in ways that they don't do now because they just don't understand or don't know how to do. And Copilot's going to really help with that process as well.
It's a game changer, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same competition.
It's the same thing in like Outlook, right? Like, you know, the Outlook desktop app, as frustrating as it is, like, again, there's a lot of things it can do. Apart from crashing, it does some other things too. And but there's some really cool features it does. And again, like people don't really know how to fully leverage those. And Copilot is going to be really big for that. And you know, properly formatted emails. It's kind of freaky because we're going to have, you know, as I was saying, like, you know, if Copilot's going to automatically reply to an email for you, then someone on the other end is going to get a reply back from the AI. So it's going to be like the AI is just going to be talking to each other.
I know one thing it didn't touch on as much in that video we watched was in Microsoft Teams, how essentially, if you have, it could be an individual chat or it could be a group chat with your team or whatever. If you miss, say, a couple of days.
Well, yeah, you work 3 or 4 days a week and you miss the whatever's so going on Monday.
You're lucky enough to get the Friday off or something like that. Yeah, you need to catch up on the following Monday.
Some people do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people get that.
Yeah, you can essentially just ask it. Like you can either ask from a specific person from that channel, like, oh, what did I miss from this person or what did I miss from this group chat, for example, over the last week? And it'll attach, if there was documents attached, PowerPoint, OneNote, it attach all this stuff that you can actually go back and summarize, and it kind of summarizes it for you. So even if you want to go say, what did I miss on a certain topic? It'll spit out any information and summarize anything on that topic that was said in that chat over that span of time, which is cool. That's really cool.
I think it'd be interesting summarizing one of our chats.
Yeah. They're not safe for work.
No, of course not. No. But certainly the I've seen situations where like there are some very active Teams channels where you might like you can be away for a day and you can miss like 30-40 messages.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, well, that's gonna take me half an hour to catch up on figure out all this stuff out. So just to be able to go into Copilot and be right, like we'll summarize what's happened the last couple of days for me. And to give a nice, quick, succinct summary of those key points, I mean, that's, again, it's massive. Every aspect about this is going to change the way that we work. We're going to utilize features in Office that we haven't been properly utilizing before. It's going to save us a heap of time in basically producing documents and editing documents. And because of how tightly integrated it is, it's just going to, again, all your information is going to flow between, you know, Word and Excel, Outlook and whatnot. And then also as the AI develops, again, the model's just going to be trained better and better and more attuned to our day-to-day work environment and what we're doing. So,
and I'm a big advocate for documentation. So if it saves me a little bit of time or anything like that, I'm all for it. But the more you look into it and the more you research it and the more advertising you see, the less of a gimmick it starts to seem. Hey, it seems pretty serious. So.
Yeah. I really think, again, once people start to use it, it's going to become the norm. Like,
yeah.
I remember they used to joke about Clippy, the clipboard thing about you'd ask it for help and it would.
I remember that. Actually,
and there's plenty of memes about that. We might put one overlay on this in the chat, on the podcast. But I mean, you know, good old Clippy, you'd be like, oh, I need help with this. And it would just be like, haha, well, that's great. You're not going to get it.
Yeah.
Or have you tried, you know, just turning using another again, program yeah. instead of giving up at all and everything. So, but it, yeah, it was terrible. Obviously, you know, now with the technologies we've got now, this is legitimately going to be a very, very different way of going about things. And it's going to be a system that's integrated fully into the platform. But yeah, legitimately, like every, like I can think of everything that I'd, like if I think for myself, all the things that I do on a regular basis in obviously in the office environment, you know, I'm writing out proposals like that. That stuff's just going to be like, it's going to save me 10, 15 minutes every time I have to write up a proposal, you know, all the emails backwards and forwards. Like, again, you're going to have, you know, like 3 or 4 minutes on it with short emails, maybe 5, 10 minutes on a long email every single time you're going to be saving.
Yeah.
Like, again, you add that up, you add up the stuff in Excel, you know, maybe once a month, or I've got to go into PowerPoint myself, do a presentation in PowerPoint. Teams as well. Our teams are going to save us a bit of time. Like, you add it up, it's going to be hours and hours out of every single staff member's day every single week. So the change is going to be massive, and it's going to, you know, I think people, you know, again, like I think people have to, I mean, to some extent people have to be ready for it. I feel like you've got to,
I don't know if you need some sort of training in place for staff, or just, you know, like an awareness for it for a lot of the end users who may not be using it as much per se.
Well, I think that's going to be the thing, right? I think, you know, any organization that implements this early on and successfully trains and adopts it with their staff, they're going to get a massive competitive advantage. As I said, in the terms of literally hours a day from every single staff member, which is going to add up to, again, like several employees a month, or literally hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, or millions of dollars if you're a massive organization, right? Like, so, like the productivity benefits definitely cannot be understated. And I guess really moving forward, I think those that, you know, want to get on it, you want to get on it early when it becomes available. So there is a way in the Microsoft Office 365 or Microsoft 365 tenant, you can actually go in and you can specify your basically your channel preferences. So if you want to get access to the beta channel, and you can apply it across your whole organization.
I noticed it was they talked about in another Microsoft video that it's going to be all individual user-based permissions for it. So say, for example, you have one department that you don't want another department seeing certain files or whatever, you can actually restrict exactly what one department sees, you know. So if they want to write a report on something like that, and it'll show all the documents available in your organization, if there's certain, you know, more sensitive documents or something like that, that can actually be configured to be restricted on a per user.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you don't want it to be like, oh, you know, give us the top generating, like, you know, there's like, I don't know, sales reps or whatever for the last quarter, and like, the cleaner types that into the Excel or something like that, and he gets all this data they shouldn't have access to. Give us the performance report for my competing staff member, like, and like give it in a nice graph, like, give
performance report of myself or something like that. Yeah.
So totally, obviously there's gonna, yeah, and that's, these are some of the considerations that Microsoft obviously had to think about, because if it was just a matter of just chuck ChatGPT in Office, they could probably have almost have done it by now.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of work to go into the process. But again, I can't, you know, overstate enough, I think it's going to be massive competitive advantages for those that adopt it early and adopt it properly.
But they didn't stress enough that they were going to respect the user's permissions. So
yeah, totally. Which is cool. And I think that's really important. So I think, yeah, so again, like moving forward with it. So at the moment, it is in that very restricted phase between the, I guess, you know, handful of Fortune 500 companies in the US. At some stage very soon, and I suspect sometime in the next quarter, it will become available at a beta level for selected users. I would be suggesting to, particularly to our clients and to others that want to get in on it early, is to get access to that, get a feel for it, and have a bit of a think about how you may implement it in your organization.
Is that, I'm not actually too sure about this, is that included on the current like business standard and business premium licenses?
Well, because they haven't done the official announcement yet, they haven't actually said whether it would be. But you know what? I mean, it is interesting.
It's an extra
because
$5 or something like that.
They might be like, okay, it's not going to come with standard, but it'll come with premium.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And that would be a way for them to force everyone into premium, which they're actively trying to do with Microsoft anyway to make a few extra bucks. So that might be a strategy. But the other flip side to it is that with Microsoft, because again, with AI, you need to train it with as much language as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
It may make more sense for them to include it in the standard product.
Eventually, it might.
And eventually, they might bump up the price of standard and then to sort of cover that, because then they capture a lot more data from their existing clients, and they can better train and better make a better product. So,
which is what's needed for an AI technology.
So that's right, because that's how ChatGPT and all these AI technologies have been so good. They've just basically grabbed a lot of information from a lot of sources at mass scale, and they've trained those natural language models on that information. So the more information you have, you know, in theory, and if you're using the right algorithms and the right approach, you can create an awesome AI system.
Yeah.
And obviously, it has to be the right information. It has to be trained on the right thing. So it's not completely just get as much information as possible. You don't want to, as what we've seen in the past, like there was a great example of this a couple of years ago with IBM Watson and a few other weird, funny AIs.
They had humans train it and talk to it. And after a while, the AI basically
started to really start to go off the rails.
Yeah.
So
touchy stuff.
So this is the thing, right? So I guess with this type of stuff, it is important that the material you train it on. So Microsoft may end up going, well, look, we're going to leverage the data from the Microsoft standard descriptions to basically, take full advantage of that and train it on the best and most capable data possible.
Well, the AI algorithm is essentially based on its learning techniques is based on a massive public data pool, essentially. So the more information it has, the more it can summarize, generate, the more it can spit out, the more accurate information it can spit out to the end user. So,
because that's kind of the exciting thing, right? Like, eventually it's going to learn, not only the language of how to do proposals, like just from you, but it'll learn from other Microsoft users as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to get the benefit of guys that have probably been writing, as an example, just proposals. Guys that have been writing proposals for decades. Yeah. And it's going to learn how to write that. And then when you try to generate proposals, it's going to learn the best way to do it based on, it'll be thousands of years worth of experience in literally one AI model, which is crazy. It's the same thing with the Excel stuff. As I was saying, like, you've got guys that just sit in finance all day that just do Excel spreadsheets, and it's going to have that knowledge. It's going to be trained on that stuff. It's going to learn how to basically do Excel from those guys. So when you then try to do Excel utilizing Copilot, you're going to get the leverage and the advantage of that. Although again, like literally the combined experience of hundreds of thousands of years experience.
Well, it works both ways, people in finance that might sit and use Excel all day, compared to another department that
sales doing presentations or something.
It works both ways. So if someone in finance needs to make a flashy report or whatever, they can use the knowledge from a different department's data pool. So if people who are experienced for years and years doing documentation and reporting and things like that, the finance department can just snatch that off them and it all works together.
Yeah. So it's going to make other staff members more productive across departments as well. So that's the other really cool thing about it.
Yeah.
I guess really, so let's sum it up. So Copilot, it is legit. It is definitely worthwhile having a serious look at. And again, my take on it is that we'll be the biggest productivity game changer since Windows 95. Can't overstate that enough. And it's gonna save hours and hours a day out of every single staff member. And again, it'll be hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, depending on the size and scale of your organization. And then I guess really, in terms of how you want to go about that, again, make sure that if you go in Microsoft 365 tenant, you can sign up to the beta channel. So the second it does become available, you'll get the beta release of Office and you'll get early access to it. And then really think about, like, once you start to play with it, have a bit of a think about your implementation strategy within your organization. So think about how you're going to take advantage of it, and also think about how you're going to train your staff into utilizing it. Because if your staff leverage it and utilize it, again, it's just going to be a massive benefit. But if it just sits there and you're paying for it, like the 20 other applications that people have in Office that nobody knows of, nobody uses, then you're not going to get that advantage. So again, really think about the training aspect. Try and get access to the beta channel. So as soon as it does become available in the next coming months, you can have a bit of a play with it, have a bit of a feel about it, think about how you want to implement it in your organization.
And I'm sure would definitely be implementing that quite early in a couple of our clients for sure.
Oh, for sure. There'll be, and look, again, if you don't know how, or you're not sure about how to go about it, there's obviously, we know someone that might be able to help you out with that. So, exactly.
Love my team.
So, look, That's Microsoft Copilot. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up, Ryan?
This has been awesome. You know, first podcast and all, you know, research.
Yeah, I think we'll have you back. So
I'll be back, guys. Don't worry.
Sam's away for a few weeks, so Ryan will be back again. And yeah, look, this has been a great podcast. There's a lot of other cool things we want to talk about with Microsoft 365. So
yeah, definitely.
I think we might get into some SharePoint stuff in one of our next podcasts.
Yeah, SharePoint stuff. That's me, baby.
Ryan. So Ryan's all over SharePoint. Great little podcast there. And that's Microsoft Copilot, guys. I'm Ben.
I'm Ryan.
And we'll see you guys in the next one. Cheers. Wrong one. You know what? That was kind of funny. There we go. We'll be right back.